Let's talk about Christmas. Now, I know there are many Christians who don't celebrate Christmas. They believe it's pagan, and if we do look at the history of Christmas, we can't dispute that. It is pagan. There's no two ways about it. And the other thing you've got to remember is this. When we look at, you know, all of the tinsel, all of the lights, all of the trees, Santa Claus, all of it, I think it's the very opposite thing that Jesus came into the world to save us for. He didn't want us to live this life full of glitz and glamour and basically worldliness. But whether you celebrate Christmas or not, one thing you also cannot deny, and it's this. As an evangelist, Christmas is a tremendous time for us to share the gospel. It's like one of the only times in the year where you will get unbelievers who will come in droves into churches and they will sit under the gospel preaching of a minister. Now, sadly, many churches do sell out. They don't share the gospel and they make it more about, you know, chocolate and different things, and they don't really share the true message of the Bible. But as an evangelist, I personally think Christmas is a wonderful time to share the message of the cross, the message from the crib to the cross, where Jesus came into this world and died for sinners. And that's really what I want to do with you today, if that's okay. I want to tell you a little bit about Jesus. Now, welcome to my kitchen. This is where we make all of our food. And I'm going to just make a little cup of coffee, if that's all right with you. I'm not sure if you're a coffee fan. I would love to pour you a drink. So maybe this is a good chance for you to pause the video and also to get a cup of coffee. I don't know what kind of coffee you like to drink. Personally, my wife's got me into organic coffee, so we're going to be having some organic Colombian roast today, okay? So let me see if I can multitask as we do this. This is the first time I've ever felt paranoid about making a cup of coffee that I'm being watched. By how many people are watching this video, I don't know. So, back to Christmas. If I ask you, what is your favourite Christmas song? I wonder what you'll say. Now again, you might not celebrate Christmas, you might hate it, and for a lot of people, let's be honest, Christmas can be a terribly stressful time where you've got to get presents for all of your family, and it can also be a very lonely time if you're not married or if you're going through a divorce. Christmas is, it really emphasizes that, it zooms in on all the problems of life. But let's just pretend, you know, there are people here who do like Christmas, and this is what I'd say to an unbeliever. I'd ask them, what's your favorite Christmas song? Perhaps you like Mariah Carey, All I Want for Christmas Is You. Maybe you like the song by Wham. What was that one? It goes like, Last Christmas I Gave You My Heart. Perhaps your favorite Christmas song is Live 8, Feed the World. What about this one? Finish the line for me. Bing Crosby once sang, I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. Now, wherever you're watching this in the world, I can guarantee to you that you will 100% have a white Christmas this year. And it's in this verse here in the Bible. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18 says, Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are as red like crimson, they shall be as white as wool. I don't know whether it will snow this Christmas. If you're watching this in Africa today, I very much doubt it will snow on Christmas Day for you. But I can promise you this, we can all have a white Christmas because the Son of God can wash away our sins and make us white as snow. So did you catch what that verse said? God said, come now, let us reason together. Can I ask you a personal question? If you're not a Christian and you're watching this video right now, what is it that's stopping you from coming to the Lord Jesus Christ? What is it that's stopping you from becoming a Christian? Many people say to me, I don't want to become a Christian because, you know, I just don't understand why there's so much suffering, why there's so much evil in the world. Why is it that good people often go unrewarded and the evil people They're able to prosper and they live great lives. Why is that? Perhaps the reason is this. You might say to me, okay, yes, I do believe there is a God. I can't deny that God exists. But which gods? How do I not know that the Muslim God's correct? Or how do I not know that Hinduism, there's truth in that? Why believe that the God of the Bible? Well, whatever it is that's stopping you from committing your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, did you know that God is not an unreasonable God? And much of prayer is actually just telling God all of our feelings. Yes, when we pray, we come before Him and we worship Him, but we can also just tell Him, Lord, I'm confused. I don't understand why my mother is in hospital right now. I don't understand why I lost my job and I work so hard at my job, but my other colleagues, they were lazy and they've kept their job. Lord, I don't understand when I look at your Bible. Some things, they just don't make sense. They seem so hard. And how can you be this loving God? I don't understand it, God. I don't understand when I look at science and the world of it and it just seems like there's so very little evidence. Tell God your concerns. Tell Him your worries and He'll listen. He's there to reason with you. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. You know, Jesus Christ, you know it well that He rose from the dead. That's what we believe as Christians. But did you know one of His disciples, Thomas, didn't actually believe that Jesus had risen from the dead? You see, all the other disciples had seen the risen Lord. They saw Him on that cross nailed, and then they saw Him risen 3 days later. But Thomas wasn't there. And Thomas said, listen, unless I put my finger in the nail prints of His hand, unless I put my finger in His side, I won't believe. For him, seeing was believing. I wonder if you've ever said that yourself. Seeing is believing. Well, listen, the Lord God, Jesus Christ, what did He do with Thomas? He didn't get angry at him. He didn't say, how dare you not believe in me? He didn't cast him off. No, Jesus, very gently, He met Thomas where he was, risen, and He took Thomas's hand. He said, here, take your finger and put it in my nail prints. Here, take your hand and put it in my side. Don't be unbelieving, but believe. It's me, Jesus, I've risen from the dead. And that same Christ who met with Thomas is the same Christ who is willing to meet with you today and to save you and to show you, even though you've got these confusions, He'll meet you exactly where you're at. You don't have to clean yourself up to meet the living God. Just come with all of your issues, all of your problems, and He'll deal with them if you are willing to come and meet with the Lord. Now, as we sort of think about some things here, I wonder what kind of a life you've lived. I wonder if you're a nice person. I probably guess the majority of people who are watching this, you're good, upstanding citizens, aren't you? You've done nice things, you've helped the poor, you're good parents, you've raised your children up in the best way possible. Yes, you've made mistakes, but as much as possible, you've tried to be a good person. But did you know this? You and I were actually sinners. You and I, we've actually done wrong, you know? We stand condemned before a holy God, and we have this thing that clings to us, this thing called sin, which separates us from a holy God. Let me try and put this in an analogy for you. I want you to imagine you're a child, okay? And you're wearing white clothes. You've got white pants on, you've got a white shirt on, you've got white trainers on, and you knock on your mother's house. She has a white door, she's got a white carpet, white ceilings, white roof. Everything's spotless, everything's clean. And you stand before your mother, and she looks at you at the front door, and she notices you've got this tiny little speck of dog muck on your shoe. Will your mother let you enter into that house when she's seen that tiny little stain? She won't, will she? Because you'd ruin the cleanness of this beautiful house. And so it is with God. Although we might try to do our best, we have sin, don't we? And just one little ounce, just one tiny bit of sin is enough to keep us out of heaven. Why? Because we'd ruin the perfect heaven like we've ruined planet Earth. We'd ruin heaven and stain it and ruin that holiness that stains and ruins so much of our lives. And that is why God's standard is perfection. But God, knowing that we are sinners, and God knowing how much He deeply loves us, this extravagant love, God made a way for you and I. He sent His only begotten Son, His precious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to enter into this world. And you know, as I've just said, Jesus was put on a cross, an old, rugged cross. There, it wasn't glamorous, it wasn't precious, it was a dirty, rugged cross. When a man went out to Calvary, when he went out to the place of the skull, you knew that that man was not coming back, because there was an ugliness to that place where the Romans put men up and crucified them. And when that happened, something tremendous happened. The weight of our sin, all of our rottenness, all of our sins, all the wrong things you and I have done, was laid on Christ. And the Bible says that darkness fell on the land. So I don't know if you've been getting presents and you maybe went on Black Friday to get lots of presents. Well, did you know that the Lord Jesus Christ, He died on a Black Friday where the sun, quite literally, there was an eclipse that happened and darkness fell on the land. When all of our sins were laid on Christ, and there God's wrath was poured out and it was placed, it was embedded on Jesus Christ. And there Christ suffered the darkness of the cross for your sin, for my sin, so that you and I can be forgiven. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sins. And Jesus Christ, on that cross, He shed His blood so that you and I can be forgiven. My wife Emma, I'll do this coffee now, I think it's brewed for long enough. My wife Emma actually became a Christian when she was 18 years old. Do you know how she got saved? She was reading the Bible, and she was reading Psalm 51, and perhaps you're familiar with the passage. It's basically where this great King David, he had made a real mess. He'd cheated, and he'd taken another man's wife, Uriah's wife, Bathsheba, for himself. He then had this man put on the front line, so sadly Uriah had died. He'd committed sins, and once he realised his wrong, he felt a sense of guilt, and he cried out to the Lord. He asked for forgiveness, and what he said was very powerful, and it was this particular line that saved my wife Emma, and it was this: "Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." Now, how is it we get whiter than snow? Well, the blood of Jesus Christ, it has a cleaning effect. It scrubs it away. There's literally, it can scrub away our sins, those stains. Although we might not have only one little bit of stain on the bottom of our shoe. No, from our head to our foot, we're unclean. And Christ's blood washes us. It cleans us. It makes us righteous in God's eyes. And that's really what I'm asking you today. Have you come to the cross? And have you asked the Lord Jesus Christ to wash away all of your sins, past, present and future? The sins you've forgotten about, all those sins that separate you from God, all those sins that you deserve to be punished, dare I say, in a place called hell, and yet Christ died there so that wouldn't have to happen if you'll come and receive Him. Now, we have talked a little bit about Christmas songs, haven't we? But I wonder, if you are a Christmas fan, what's your favourite Christmas film? If you're still with me now, write it down in the comment box. Perhaps your favourite film is A Christmas Carol. You can't beat A Christmas Carol. Maybe you like, I don't know, what about The Polar Express? Is that a film that you watch in your country? Or maybe you like the Home Alone series. When I was a little boy, people used to say I looked like Macaulay Culkin, and my brother even more so. But I wonder if you're a fan of The Grinch, you know, the Grinch that stole Christmas. I'm just wanting to have a little taste of this. Let's see how it tastes. That's some good coffee. I hope you're enjoying yours if you've made one at home. Now, what would you think of this idea that, imagine Jim Carrey has a premiere for his film, The Grinch That Stole Christmas. And imagine, you know, everyone turns up. You've got the big celebrities, the big A-listers. You've got a red carpet. You've got all of this money, all of these things that's been poured into this premiere, and everyone's invited. But Jim Carrey isn't. He's not invited to his own premiere. You'd say, that's madness. That's ridiculous. This film wouldn't really exist. I mean, they could get another actor, but it wouldn't be the same without Jim Carrey. It's a bit like the whole... Now, I don't endorse Harry Potter, but it's like the Harry Potter situation. Do you remember about a year or so ago, there was a reunion of all the Harry Potter stars. So they had Rupert Grint, they had Daniel Radcliffe, Emma Watson, all these stars that had been made famous by the books that J.K. Rowling had written. But because J.K. Rowling had made some comments that people didn't agree with, she wasn't invited to her own celebration. She wasn't invited to her own reunion, which would not exist if it wasn't for her. And that's kind of what I think of when I think of Christmas. When I think of the millions, even billions around the world who celebrate Christmas. The reason it took off, yes, it had pagan roots, but the reason it took off is because it was a celebration of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet billions of people, they'll get a turkey. Billions of people, they'll cut down a tree and they'll put it in their living room. Billions of people, they'll invite their family, they'll have presents, they'll do all these things. And yet Jesus Christ is not invited to his own birthday celebration. He's not even welcome when he is the reason behind this season. So here's the big question. Will you have a white Christmas this year? Will you come to the living God, Jesus Christ? And will he be welcome if you're going to celebrate Christmas? Will he be welcome at his own celebration? That's a big question, isn't it? Because many people, they'll do everything but think of Jesus. And I guess if you sit with your unbelieving family members, if you are a Christian, if you start talking about Jesus, he won't be welcome around the Christmas dinner table, will he? But you do realise this. It is more than just saying a prayer before you get your cranberry sauce and tuck into the turkey. It's so much more than that. You see, the idea behind Christmas is this mystery. Here is this great big God, mighty, the God who has created millions of galaxies, this God who is huge, who is massive, and yet this God made himself so small. He encased himself in skin, blood and bones, and he took the form of a man. A baby, Jesus Christ. Christ's spirit stepped into a child, and there Christ became a helpless babe. Again, here is this living God who formed all of the universe, and yet think about it, he needed someone to change him. He needed a mother to feed him, totally helpless. And yet he did that, so that you and I could have a salvation. God didn't just leave us distant away from us in heaven. No, he stepped in and he took on a flesh and he lived amongst us. And that little baby grew up into a boy, grew up into a man, and yet without sin, and died on the cross. And this is the crazy part. If you do choose the Lord Jesus Christ, if you do choose to receive him, this great big God also has another part of him. God in three persons, the Holy Spirit. And the message of the Bible is when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, you also receive the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit of God comes and lives inside you and me. It's a mystery, isn't it? That here is the life of God inside of the soul of man. And that's really what I'm asking you about. Not just to remember Jesus at Christmas time, but will you receive the Lord Jesus Christ that he might come and live inside of you, wash you clean and give you eternal life? Please, please think about this and please come to him. Not even at Christmas, whenever you're watching this, come to him right now and know that the blood of Jesus Christ can wash you whiter than snow, can clean all of your sins away. I will say this and then I want to talk to you about something else. Snow does have a cleaning effect, doesn't it? I don't know if you've ever, if you have a tip or a rubbish or a junk mound, I don't know what you call it, but where you get all of the rubbish, you know, if I get the packet of coffee there and I put it in my rubbish, in my trash can, they get all of that rubbish where we are, in our wheelie bins we call them, and then they take it to a place called a tip. And they put it in one big mound, all these smelly bananas, all these Coke cans, all in this big mound. and it stinks. And yet, when it snows, which it often does in my country, when it snows, snow falls on that big mound, and it makes that horrible mess look like Mount Everest. It looks beautiful, like this pristine, clean mountain. And that's what Jesus wants to do with you. All of your sin, all of that rottenness, all those things you're ashamed of, God wants to take that and cover it with his blood and make you totally clean. That's the message, and it's there for you. If you want it, you can have it. Now, as I have another sip of coffee, that's some really good coffee. I want to tell you something else. My plan for this new year is I really hope to go back to weekly videos again on my Off The Curb Ministries channel. Now, if you are a Christian and you watch those videos, if you're not, please, every Saturday, we're going to aim for around 9:30 Eastern time to post a video every single Saturday. Maybe it'll be a couple of hours later, but that's going to be my goal, to be as consistent as possible this coming year. And I just really hope that you will, if it's okay with you, make the time to watch those videos, because they do take a lot of time. It can be a little bit difficult every week to try and get them out, and if you watch them, it helps send them out to more people. And something that people have been saying to me, I see it all the time in the comments, "Oh, it's great to have you back, Joe, we've missed you." Well, actually, I've been posting very regularly recently, but my videos haven't been reaching as many people. I have got a few reasons for why I think this could be happening, but one of the big things I need to do is go back to consistency every week, and I'm going to try and post every week. So if you can turn up for that, that'd be wonderful. Now again, I've been chatting to you about this idea of this second channel that you're watching right now, and I'm in two minds. Should I post every week on here, or should I, you know, just post every now and then? I just need to know your opinion. I could also put these kinds of videos on my main Off The Curb Ministries channel. If you can give me advice, I'd really appreciate it. And then the other thing I'm sort of considering is, you know, how many shorts should I make? You know, I've spent a lot of time this year and even last year making short form content, which is great at reaching the younger generation, but I can't really build that depth. You know, there's no way I could make a cup of coffee. If you're still watching now, I know you're very patient. You're very, can I say, loyal supporters of this ministry. And most people won't stick around for that. Everything's so quick. And, you know, there is definitely a need to reach those people, to get them hopefully onto the long form content, to consider Christ. But I just need wisdom, really, so do pray for me. I'm also considering how many open airs and street preaching do I do in the next year. What do I do in 2024? Because I need to pray about these things and know the Lord's insight. So if you've got any thoughts, please let me know. If you've got any ideas for videos, please let me know. But just please, the big thing I'm asking for is remember and spread the word if you can that, you know, we're trying to make videos every single week on our Off The Curb Ministries channel, where we can reach unbelievers with the gospel. One more final thing. If you did appreciate this video and if you thought it might be helpful to your unbelieving family members, please share it with them. I think it would help me and it would help, well, it would encourage me. It wouldn't help me, it'll encourage me. But above all, I want to see souls saved. That's my big burden. But the next thing is this, if you're looking for tracks, people often ask me, "Joe, where do you get your tracks from?" Well, I get them from an organisation called 10ofthose.com, and there's a tract actually, which really I got the idea from for this video, which is called White Christmas. And if you'd like to get a copy of that, that's a wonderful tract to give out to your non-Christian neighbours and family, that just sums up what we're trying to say, that Jesus Christ can wash us whiter than snow. That's all I've got to say today. Thank you for listening, and it's really precious to have your friendship and your support and all of your love. I really don't take it for granted. Thank you so much for all that you do, and for those of you who support the ministry as well. I know I don't talk about this often, I kind of keep it quiet, but I do want to also thank you also for your help. God bless you all, and I hope you have a great Christmas, whether you celebrate it or not. I hope you have a wonderful end to 2023. God bless you all.